He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we have the market kind of in hold mode right now because a big announcement will come later on today from our friends at the Fed. The Dow is down 21 points, which puts it at 39,089. The S&P, which closed at a new all-time high yesterday by a few points, the S&P is down 1.5 right now. It's at 5,177. The NASDAQ is down 11. It's at 16,156, awaiting that announcement from the Fed. The Russell 2000 small caps down 0.25% so far to 2,030. Crude oil's down $1.30 today at $82.17. Gold is looking for rate cuts. That's what gold wants. Gold is up 70 cents, and it's at 2,160. The 10-year is very quiet today. It is at 4.30% today, and we've got Bitcoin up 460 to 63,700, but well off of its all-time high, which it recently set of 73,800. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Barry, I thought about just sleeping in till 2:30 p.m. today because the market's going to be asleep until then, waiting for the Fed decision. But then I looked at the baseball calendar and saw that I had a game to watch. That began at first pitch was at 6 a.m. this morning from Seoul, Korea. And, you know, as people are getting up, the Padres are already in last place.
The Seoul series, right?
Yes. I mean, we're 0-1, and our nemesis, the Dodgers, is 1-0. And it is opening day of baseball season. That's another big thing happening this week. And, of course, tomorrow you got some play-in games going on to get into the big dance. And tomorrow you've got the beginning of the big dance of NCAA basketball. And in the meantime, the Fed is meeting and will get a decision. I think it's 2:30 p.m., isn't it?
Eastern time. Yeah, well, we should. I think the decision will come at 2, and then usually the news conference will be after, usually at 2:30. So the most important part will be the speaking. I was looking at the percentages for chance of what the Fed's going to do, and of course, today is virtually 100% chance that they're going to stay where they are. I was looking at the May meeting. The May meeting's 94% chance that they, you know, stay where we are now. You got to get out to June where you actually get some, you know, a 60% chance of a quarter point rate cut. So this is the dot plot meeting. So we'll get we'll be following connect the dots here
yes.
Later on.
But, and the consensus is for 3, I think, right now rate cuts. Between now and the end of the year.
And there doesn't have to be many minds changed, I don't believe, to get to, say, two rate cuts in projection by them. So there's a kind of a pretty high likelihood that you may get, you know, only two rate cuts on the actual dot plot itself. So.
Yeah, well, it would help. I mean, the housing market is still tough. The 30-year is still up around 7%. It would help to bring rates down a little bit. I think inflation, even though it's persistent, I don't think it's going up anymore. So we'll see what they have to say. Yesterday, the Dow was up 320. It really rallied towards the end of the day. Not any one particular stock. I'm going to say it's on optimism that the Fed will be dovish. The S&P actually closed at an all-time high yesterday by a few points. But the forward PE goes up to its, it broke out to a new high, 21.33 now on the forward PE of the S&P 500. The PE ratio of the S&P rises to 23.23. So that's pretty rich, very rich on the valuation ratio. The energy stocks had another good day. I may be looking to add an energy stock or two to the portfolios. I saw several that were breaking out yesterday. EOG was breaking out, for instance, and Marathon breaking out, Valero breaking out, a few others, Devon Energy, and even BP broke out yesterday. So we'll watch that, and there are a few values there. But, boy, that's a tough call. That oil market is a very difficult call.
Yeah, at the portfolio level, you're just onboarding volatility, right?
Yeah.
In both directions. It's just, being tied to such a to a commodity.
It is totally, almost completely dependent upon the price of oil. I think another little catalyst underneath the market was Japan's historic pivot. 17 years since their last rate cut. Of course, we can't wait 17 months here in America before we're clamoring for a rate cut. They waited 17 years in Japan. And speaking of Japan, watching
Rumble
that.
Still, you could sleep for what? What was the old fairy tale?
For
17 years. Yeah, that's right. So you could just wake up after 17 years and be right where you thought.
Speaking of Japan, that Shohei Ohtani, he is a beast. I haven't really seen him that much because he's played in the American League with the Angels. And we watch pretty much the National League. Well, I saw him today on the Dodgers. He really didn't do anything. Maybe he got one hit. But the man is a monster. He reached out on a foul ball or on a inside pitch, and, I mean, it was just barely foul. That thing almost hit the ceiling of the stadium. He's a monster. And not only that, he's fast. He can steal bases, so... Man, I'll tell you what, he's going to be a long time, a fun guy to watch in Major League Baseball. Okay, well, I work very cautious today in front of the Fed. Morgan Stanley's Ellen Zentner. I don't know, Morgan Stanley hasn't had a very good record of being right. She's the chief U.S. economist there. She expects the Federal Reserve to keep three interest rate cuts as the median, okay? So that's about really the only suspense that is going to come from the today's meeting. She says that the jobs picture remains strong. She also said you have very strong immigration numbers. Well, yeah, I'll say way too strong immigration numbers, but that is helping the jobs market. UK's inflation drops to 3.4% in February. You know, they probably had the most stubborn inflation of all of the countries in the world. Well, besides your third world countries like Turkey and Argentina, where they have 100% triple-digit inflation from time to time. But of the developed markets around the world, the UK is down to 3.4% now, and it's finally under 4%, so that's a little bit of a victory there.
Yeah, and they had it both from prices going up from Brexit and then also from COVID.
So then the energy markets too also.
Yeah.
Their natural gas really got hit there for a while, but mm-hmm. It's come down dramatically. Now there is one company that I'll be watching the earnings after the close, Micron. Because Micron does play a pretty big role in AI. Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, was talking about they're going to be gobbling up memory chips, flash memory, which is what Micron makes. But they mentioned Samsung in their in his speech. He mentioned Samsung mostly, which I don't think I can't find any publicly symbol. There is a symbol, but I don't know that you can buy and sell Samsung on the open markets here in the U.S. Maybe you can. Maybe it's on the pink sheets. But we'll be watching Micron. They are definitely a big player in the chip industry, and they always impact the semiconductor sector, which has been under a little bit of pressure. Let's just check in on NVIDIA today. It's pretty much the market leader. It's flat right now, and it has leveled off for now. Jensen Huang did not really give us anything to really get that thing going again. But we'll see. I think if the Fed is dovish, that could get the chips going again. Okay, when we come back, we've got some new analysis of the fund managers. Where is their risk appetite at right now? And you got a company that's going to do a 50-for-1 stock split, and I consider it one of the great stocks of all time. We'll be right back. Here to the second half, or second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we've got pretty much the market twiddling its thumbs until we hear from Chairman Powell. Everything's just a little bit in the red right now, not much. I've looked at maybe 50 charts so far. They all look good so far. They look constructive. So I'm not seeing anything. Fund managers' risk appetite at a two-year high. Yeah, you know what? My risk appetite was voracious about 14 months ago when we put out a buy signal on the NASDAQ. My risk appetite is definitely moderate right now, maybe a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. We're sitting on some big gains. We've cashed in several here recently. But other managers, I guess, our risk appetite is bigger than mine right now. 40% see an AI bubble. And I get asked that a lot. Are we in a bubble? Well, I would just say it depends on the stock. I can still make a case for a lot of these stocks still being able to double. Just look at the Best Stocks Now app at those five-year valuations on some of the big players in AI and look up their five-year target prices. Things can change, but based on what we know now, and that's what the market's looking at, I wouldn't call it a bubble, but there certainly are some things, and a lot of things actually in the market that are in a bubble. Those things I avoid. Chipotle's got to be one of the great stocks. It is. It's one of the greatest stocks of all time. I wish I would have just bought it and held it for several years. My son was more into Chipotle than I was, because I grew up going to Mexico a lot and eating, you know, real Mexican food, authentic Mexican food, which is up for debate as to what's authentic and what's not. But Chipotle does a pretty good job, actually. And they have developed a cult following over the years. They're big on digital ordering and all this kind of thing.
Yeah,
check
they were kind
this
of doing
out,
that
Barry.
Before anyone else.
Look at the chart today on Chipotle. I came really close to getting back into it a couple of weeks ago, and for whatever reason, I talked myself out of it. It is up $198 per share today. It's up 6.9%. Is it because they're going to use artificial intelligence in their burrito bowls?
No, it's a different stock trick, right? It's the old split.
50 for one, which will take this stock back to about $45 a share. I like it. I hate to see these stocks trading at $2,991. So if you have let's just say you've got a $7,000 Roth IRA, you buy this stock and that takes up half your Roth IRA. And I guess there's places that sell fractional shares nowadays. I just think for the average person, I don't like stocks that, well, talk to Warren Buffett about that. He finally did, though, come up with B shares.
B shares, yeah.
The other one that has never split is Priceline. I don't know if it's ever split, but Chipotle's going 50 to 1, and that has that stock breaking out. Now, I'm going to give you my current five-year valuation on Chipotle, and this is 72% upside potential over the next 5 years. That's why I talked myself out of it. I like 80% or more. So I was kind of waiting for a pullback. Instead, you get a breakout. All right. It goes exactly the opposite of what I wanted.
Right.
And that's the way it is. So anyways, Chipotle, one of the great stocks of all time, is currently ranked number 140 out of a database of just over 5,300. The one who should have never sold their Chipotle was McDonald's. They had a big investment in Chipotle. Chipotle had a big scare, too. I mean, several years ago when they had the E. coli scare.
Oh, yeah.
I swear a short seller planted that somewhere in one of their kitchens somewhere and cleaned up, because that stock just got absolutely smashed for a while.
Yeah, and they knew how to deal with it. That was one of the reasons, you know, that they did so well in the pandemic, is, you know, they had been through their own pandemic, right, during that time, to get back in not just investors' graces, but just back in, you know, into people's food chain, if you will, especially after that outbreak. But they've got the digital order down,
yes,
and have for a long time. So
Chipotle's trading, we got down to $37 a share in 2008. I want to say that was when they had the E. coli scare. And from $36 to $2,983. That's pretty sensational capital appreciation. And why? Because earnings have grown over the last 5 years by 40% per year. I don't know what the last 10 years has been, but probably pretty similar to that. And, of course, stocks follow earnings. They're still looking for a 19% increase in earnings this year and a 21% increase in earnings next year.
Wow.
So it's still an excellent stock. Okay, now, talk about the EV shift or stall. This car has stalled for now. The Biden administration, in a major win for automakers, is dialing back their fuel economy standards, which will slow the transition to electric vehicles from gas-powered ones. Well, yesterday, you know, and Monday, they've had the big meetings in Houston, the big oil companies, and they were warning, saying, you know what, you got to dial this back. It's not going to work this quick. You got to slow down this transition to green energy. So anyways, they did dial it back quite a bit. And, you know, had they not done that, their original proposal, which they changed, would have led to fines of around $6.5 billion for General Motors, $3 billion for Stellantis, $1 billion for Ford. That's the CAFE rules. And I don't know what California, if they're going to probably keep their draconian rules in place. But anyways, that's that whole train has kind of come off the tracks for now. Texas is going to divest $8.5 billion from BlackRock, citing the asset manager's ESG policies. So you've got probably, you know, the state of California, the California Teachers Pension, which is huge. I mean, they're buying companies with favorable ESG policies, and you've got Texas selling BlackRock because of their focus on ESG policies.
Yeah, what a dichotomy.
Yes, big dichotomy, two states not very far apart from each other. We'll be right back to talk a little bit about what Boeing is up to today. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Boeing is going to keep their 737 production capped at 38 planes per month, which is going to take a significant hit to their cash flow. But, you know, I think they've slowed down the line purposefully here to try to get a handle on things and make sure everything's correct before it goes off the line. And as a flying passenger, I'm kind of glad that they're slowing down the line and checking those planes out. I also see that they have plans to buy back Spirit AeroSystems, which I'm pretty sure they owned at one point in time. They want Spirit to quit doing business with Airbus, however, which that would put them in, give them a little bit of a competitive edge there. Now, I remember back in the late 90s and the NASDAQ boom right around the millennium, the turn of the millennium there, the golf stocks just went on a tear. And most of them were located in Carlsbad, California, where we lived not too far from there, and I knew a lot of people. In fact, I knew the CFO of Callaway Golf back then. And you had Cobra. Cobra became part of Titleist or somebody. Now it's part of a big conglomerate. Callaway always kind of stayed independent. Callaway started the Top Golf, which we have one in. Have you been to a Top Golf? Have you been to our one in North Charleston?
Oh, there, yeah.
Had
yeah,
the boys the kids, there?
Boys enjoy it. It's pretty neat. One time I went, I think they were having some breaker issues because they had it was like heat of summer and the AC was overloaded and kicking off. But other than that, the couple I've been to we've had a great time.
Well, they may be in play. Now, they've
changed
the name.
Potentially, right?
They've changed the name to Top Golf Callaway Brands. And Eli Callaway was kind of a celebrity there in San Diego. He lived in Temecula. He also had a winery, Callaway Wines, I guess. I don't know if that's still on the market. I'm sure it probably is, but... You know, and it was a time when they were dialing down on military spending, which San Diego also had a lot of military there, especially defense. We had General Dynamics, SAIC, several others, and a lot of the aerospace engineers were leaving the defense business and designing golf club heads. We had the test range was not too far from our house where they would test out the clubs. And the Big Bertha was the big breakthrough, really.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that whole golf revolution come. Ping came along. I don't know if it had San Diego ties. But anyways, Callaway was a huge winner. And Aldila made the shafts for Callaway, and someone else made the grips. And it was boom time. For those stocks. And now, you know, I mean, now it's a non-growth company, really. And had they not come up with Topgolf, it wouldn't be a growth company at all. But we'll see. Somebody, it could be in play here to be bought out by one of these big sports. I think Korea's looking at it, maybe. And the stock's up 11.2% today. Okay, every day somebody is inking a deal with NVIDIA. And that's the deal. You know what? I mean, back in the year 2000, it was, they got a website. They're selling their goods online. It's a .com stock. Send it to the moon. Well, now it's everybody. Today it's Johnson & Johnson. I don't think it's going to move Johnson & Johnson, which has been stuck in neutral for years. They're a 3% grower, 2% grower. They ink a deal with NVIDIA to help them with surgical applications. And, of course, they're probably way behind the curve on that. I mean, and Intuitive Surgical with their, Michelangelo came along, the Da Vinci. Get my artist.
Yeah, Da Vinci. Yeah, yeah.
Italian artist. Anyways, Johnson & Johnson is still a major dud of a stock. But they did ink a deal. I think maybe drug discovery, it can't hurt. I mean, to run a lot of the algorithms, So anyways, we'll see. Okay, Barclays says Super Micro's time to market is the strongest moment. They think they'll be the fastest to the market to handle these Blackwell GPU platforms. I still like Supermicrocomputer, even though it's one of the biggest winners in the market this year. That stock just took off. I mean, it was a quadruple in hardly no time at all. It's volatile, though. It's had a couple of big down days. It's trading at 877 right now. SMCI got as high as 1,200. So it's gone on about a 25% sell-off. They floated a lot more shares, but I haven't seen that really dilute the earnings that much. They're expected to make $25 per share next year.
Yeah, and they're one of the ones no different. You know, I was looking for Samsung during the break, and you're right; it's just in Korea. In terms of the stock, but you know, SMCI being another one that needs to be into a data center, for example, and so those are kind of those hitching their ride right to NVIDIA at the same time.
Yeah, I was reading about how many racks a day,
right?
That there was a lot. I can't find it right now, but it was like a lot of these servers. Which look a little different these days. You know, it used to be a server was kind of self-contained, and now it's walls of racks that are connected to one another, and all these lights blinking, and it gets hot. They got to be air-conditioned. It's crazy where we've gone. Okay, Intel's getting nearly $20 billion in grants to boost chip production. I think Intel... About the only thing they have kind of got going for them right now is they want to build chips like Taiwan Semiconductor, which has kind of a huge share, 80% market share. I just don't see anything really innovative coming from Intel, and they haven't had a good week as NVIDIA announced how far ahead they are of everybody right now. Well, Barclays says that Broadcom is well-suited to take advantage of the second wave of AI, which, you know, we've already ridden the Broadcom wave. It's been a double for us. It's kind of stalled out for now. The chip stocks have stalled out for now. But maybe I don't see them as being, you know, really out there trying to compete with NVIDIA. But they are a big player in the chip industry. Tim Cook visits China again. He meets with suppliers as sales pressure continues. They continue to lose market share to Huawei in China. So Tim Cook's made his third trip here in the past year, meeting with local suppliers as the tech giant continues to deal with sales pressure in the world's most populous country. I think it's fair to say that Apple kind of missed out on the AI train, which left the station quite a bit, and now they're scrambling, and they're looking to Google or Microsoft to help fill the void. I don't know. I think they're I don't know about Tim Cook and the job he's done here recently. Maybe it's just a mathematical problem, Barry. How do you continue to grow the second biggest company out there at a 5-10% pace
Well, they're just not one of the companies we think of as, you know, as innovators, right? At least
not
in
right
terms
now.
Of in terms of what you know, we take them for granted to a certain extent, but at the same time, they've really just been building on top of right the ideas that they already had.
Yep. Well, anyways, and it hasn't been a very good stock here recently. The more he visits China, the more the stock goes down. And last but not least, the commodity market. You've got oil surging and a lot of predictions for copper prices to soar. So, you know, I did notice a huge breakout recently for Freeport-McMoRan and Southern Copper. But you know what? That's another tough one to predict. 10 best energy stocks so far this year. Marathon Petroleum up 31% year to date. That's MPC. Valero's up 28.3%. We have missed this entire move in energy. We don't have any right now. And Diamondback up 24.3%. Those are the big winners in energy so far in 2024. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll take a look underneath the market. And there are some stealthy kind of moves taking place underneath the surface right now. And we'll name names when we come back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market is expecting a little later on today good news from the Fed that they're not going to do anything with interest rates right now. Obviously, the rate hikes ended quite some time ago. The market started moving way in advance of that. Look, if you go back to October of 2022, that's when the NASDAQ bottomed the first time. Then it started going sideways, rallied, came back down, bottomed again in early January of last year. And that's when we said we think a bottom is in place in the NASDAQ, and we went hog wild. We have some long-term capital gains in stocks like Broadcom, etc., AMD, because we've held them for over 1 year. You know, so the market started moving way in advance, looking ahead to the Fed pivot. And the pivot, the official pivot, actually came in October of last year. The market was starting to sell off, and the Fed pretty much said they were done. Then the market, the pivot then is start looking ahead for rate cuts.
Yeah, it was initially the pause, right? And then, of course, once the pause happened, the next inclination is, well, when's the cut?
Yes, and I know our listeners are out there going, how in the world can the market be so highly sensitive to every little move or every little word? Really, does a quarter of a point in interest rates really mean that much? Well, obviously it does. Look at what the market's done since January of last year. Look at what it's done since October, especially, which I outlined in my newsletter on Friday. I gave you the move that the NASDAQ has made, the semiconductor sector, and the software sector have made since that October pivot, because the market was starting to fall apart in October of last year, even though, you know, the Fed seemed to be done hiking rates. You had almost a death cross in the Dow in October of last year. It came very close to that. And then came the pivot, and the market never looked back. And now it's kind of stalled out because you've now running into valuation issues. With the forward PE closing yesterday at the high, for probably a three-year high, 21.33 forward earnings. And that is very rich. That's got to be reckoned with at some point in time. But what the market's looking ahead to today is no change and a dot plot that shows three rate cuts beginning in June, I guess, would be three rate cuts. So in the second half of the year, to see three rate cuts is what
that's probably consensus, yeah, at this point.
Now, if they come in and the dot plot clearly shows only two, you could get a nasty sell-off in the market, and that could lead to a pretty healthy correction. And I've said that it would take a 10 to 11% correction right now to get us back to a multiple of 19, more where the market belongs. So all of this drama will come to a head at around 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time today.
Yeah, which would also lead to more of a no landing situation, right? To talk about the monikers
soft
that's
landing,
been talked about,
hard landing.
Yeah, because if they're not cutting, well, then of course you know at least the economic indicators that they're looking at, right, should be more, you know, in theory, right, more robust than expected, and so it's you know, it could be a more strengthened E part of the equation, right, in terms of earnings.
That's right. Well, the best performer in the Dow today is Boeing. It's up 1.8%. Boeing is tackling their problem. They're moving pretty quickly to try to get their house in order. The biggest loser in the Dow is Chevron, down 1.1% today as oil stocks and oil prices are kind of taking the day off. In the NASDAQ today, the biggest winner is American Airlines because oil is taking the day off today. There's really not much else there on the upside in the NASDAQ. Tech stocks are flat. I mean, absolutely flat right now. And on the downside, there's not much. Charter Communications is the worst performer in the NASDAQ, down 2.4%. It's a heavily shorted stock, is Charter Communications. And then if we look at the S&P 500, there were a few companies reporting earnings today. The big winner we've already talked about, the winner, the stock of the day is Chipotle. CMG up 6.2%, not because they've got artificial intelligence driving sales, because it's doing a stock split. Is it 40, 50, 50 to 1?
Yeah, 50 to 1, yeah.
So if you own 100 shares today, you wake up tomorrow, you'll own 2 shares, right?
No, the other way. 50 for 1, yeah, so you get to multiply 100
way.
Times, yeah, so it'd be, what, 5,000 shares?
Yeah,
if you own
100, so you'll say, wow, I got to own, but the problem is, it's one, it's two, it's 1/20th of the price that it was. Before they did this, or 1/50th of the price before they did the split. So it's a wash. At the end of the day, it's a wash. But the theory is, okay,
makes
now the little guy
right.
can sock away 50 shares at Robinhood in his Robinhood account. And I do still consider it one of the great stocks of all time. Now it's a little richly priced after today's move. Biggest loser in the S&P 500 today. And those stocks have not done very well recently. Equinix, which is a data center REIT, and the REITs have not done very well in general. So that's about it of what's going on today, other than opening day Major League Baseball. One game in the books already. The Padres are already in last place. They haven't been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yet. That's the good news. That usually happens around July. You've got maybe a playoff, a play-in game. Maybe are there any of those today to watch while we wait?
Yeah,
for,
we got two more this evening.
So. Oh, okay, I love those little play-in games. And then, of course, you've got the big fireworks later today with Powell. I'll be watching on the business channels. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, I put extra time, extra couple hours into the newsletter this last Saturday. Because I feel like, you know, we're at a very expensive level in the market right now, which causes a little bit of transition in the way you look at it. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.